is the Fanimal. Every Saturday morning from 8 till 9 with your host Tony Lombardi and Miles Goodman. Now, more of the Fanimal on the Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Popovic in for Tony. Miles across the way from it. Miles, just quickly, before we get back into some more Raven stuff, UtahStreetReport.com, a buzz with the signing of Cashner to a two-year deal, $60 million for the Orioles, as I know that this is a hot time to talk about the offseason for the Ravens and the draft, but for the Orioles as well, given Major League Baseball and the slow movement in free agency, your thoughts on Andrew Cashner, and is there more work to be done, or do you think they're going to fill out the rest of the rotation with the arms that they have in camp?
I think this is a good move to start. Cashner, 11-11 last year. He's got a nice ERA. About, I think he's under 3.5. So when you look at it from that perspective, he gives you a bunch of innings, which is a problem the Orioles have had, not getting a lot of innings out of their starters. They need to do more work. They're definitely not set in the rotation. Bundy, Gausman, and Cashner, I don't think are going to carry them anywhere. They have more work to do. But when you look at Cashner's body of work, he's kind of like a 40-60 pitcher overall. His ERA, though, for his career is good, which bodes well. But I do think it's a good move. It's a good signing. They need to do a little bit more work, but time's drawing short.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they pick up another guy. Now, Vargas went to the Mets the other day, so that's one less guy that is out there. The thing with, and maybe we're beyond the point with this pitcher in terms of him becoming a number one, but Kevin Gausman, you know, has the ability when he's on to be a number one. Now, Dylan Bundy actually has more of an array of pitches, so on and so forth. I know that one of our texters had made mention of earlier this week. But right now, the issue is you got Dylan Bundy for the first half of the year, Kevin Gausman for the second half of the year. So you're getting one pitcher out of two there. The hope, though, is that certainly Bundy won't tire as much, that he'll be better. He's had another year to build his arm up from the Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. And with Gausman, we're just going to have to see. There's nothing that makes me believe he is going to have a great first half, but maybe something will change.
But who fills in as your number four or number five?
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of holes. So,
well, the Rule 5 guy from the Yankees and then Castro, those are two thoughts. I like Castro in that bullpen role, though. But, yeah, give him a chance.
Well, now you're still trying to fill your closer role because Britton won't be here. There are a lot of things that they need. I thought last year when they were thinking of trading, when there was a lot of talk about trading Gausman, I actually felt that Gausman could be a great closer. That he's a guy that kind of like Britton. Britton came up, he wasn't a relief pitcher. He was a starter.
He was a starter.
They converted.
And he started out 4-0 in his rookie year. Right. He got injured and then just was never a good starter after that. And right, that it worked out in the bullpen there. Which, by the way, probably Brad Brock and Givens will split that role and maybe O'Day. O'Day's got to pick it back up, though. He's swooned a little bit too much in the last couple of years. But yeah.
And remember Brian Mattis when he was here. He started as a starter. It didn't work out. And he was 8-0 as a starter when he first came up, and then they moved him to the bullpen. He had some success in the bullpen before he kind of went by the wayside.
Let's not forget about Chris Tillman, a possibility to round out that rotation as well if he's healthy. Now, I wouldn't get overboard with, well, why haven't other teams expressed interest or picked him up? I would assume to some extent some of that just has to do with the slow moving free agent market. But at this point, you know, you want to see. But I think he'll likely get a chance. But we'll find out about that.
If you could bring Tillman back on a cap friendly contract, but if you could bring him back on a more friendly contract, because that is a difficult investment in him, knowing the arm problems that he had, knowing last year, watching how he had no velocity on his fastball, mm-hmm. watching sort of his decline, we know the shoulder injury. I'd be concerned about giving him any type of long-term deal.
Oh, absolutely.
If you brought him in for a make the team or a 1-2 year type of deal and see how it goes.
A year with maybe an option.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing with Cashner. He has a 3rd year option.
That's right. So. He could make up to, I think, about $41 million.
It's a
dollars.
Big deal if he gets that 3rd year.
It's 8:27. You're listening to Fanimal, Mike Popovic for Tony Lombardi, Miles Goodman across the way. Miles, I had brought this up earlier this week as well. I had a couple of filling gigs at night here on The Fan. You know, something to think about. I know at the end of the year, a lot of folks wanted to make a change at head coach with John Harbaugh. And the one thing that I brought up that I don't think a lot of people talk about is that the Ravens in their franchise history are 3-for-3 when choosing head coaches. Ted Marchibroda was the perfect guy to bridge the gap from the old Colts to the Baltimore Ravens, having been here, knowing Baltimore, their tradition, somebody the old guard fans could relate to and know. Then, after the 3 years, Brian Billick came in with the veteran roster that he had, with the swagger, maybe a little of the arrogance, also the PR savvy with Ray and Jamal Lewis and their situations, et cetera, wins a Super Bowl. Has a good run, time to move on. John Harbaugh comes in and, he kicks some backsides. He, ups the practices and it's not Camp Billick anymore, but he gets these guys winning at a consistent level. Even if there's, some back and forth push between him and the players, they win a Super Bowl. So they're 3-for-3. The idea that an organization is going to continue to bat 1,000 when going after head coaches, it's just not realistic. And so the thought is that, just because they move on, I'm not saying they should preclude them from it, but just remember, though, doesn't mean that the next guy they choose is going to work out, which means that after maybe 3 or 4 years of not making the playoffs, there's no guarantee that the next guy that's going to come in is going to be real successful. We've been very fortunate there.
Let me give you a hypothetical. Bill Belichick was the coach of the Cleveland Browns, the last coach of the Cleveland Browns before they moved to Baltimore. If Modell doesn't fire Bill Belichick and keeps him on instead of Marchibroda and brings Marchibroda in more as a personnel guy, because I think that's where Marchibroda's strong suit was in evaluating talent, in much like Ozzie. If he retains Bill Belichick, brings Belichick into Baltimore, you think Belichick is possibly still here? And there was some, I think Tony talked about maybe in the war room when they were drafting, I don't know if it was DaCosta or one of the guys was pushing for the Ravens to draft Tom Brady in the 4th or 5th round, and the Ravens obviously did not. Could it have been possible that we would have had Bill Belichick and Tom Brady here in Baltimore? And I mean, can you imagine now to go on so I agree. I think I like Marchibroda here. I think he was a good guy for that time. The moving on to Brian Billick, I think Brian Billick was a big part of the change in this organization. He brought a certain professionalism to the organization, because if you recall, before Brian was hired, there were statements coming out from everybody. Art Modell had comments. David Modell had comments. When Brian took it over, he became the voice of the Ravens. He was the face of the Ravens.
A central figure. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
He was the guy. I think he brought the Ravens into this era of the NFL. And then when Brian was fired, when you look at how the process went to hire Harbaugh, Harbaugh wasn't the first choice. He got the job by default as a second choice. I mean, he was a special teams coach going into it, but he came in and he had a completely different approach. It didn't fly well with some of the players, and because he was such a by the numbers guy. I mean, a lot of players coming out of Billick's system were not ready for this type of coaching, for this type of coaching style. But we saw what happened. We won Super Bowl 47. We've been competitive. Even in a year where we didn't make the playoffs, we're still 9-7 and into it down to the last, whatever it was, 40 seconds of the game. So he's had a successful run. I wouldn't have fired him at the end of this year. I would have definitely given him, like Bisciotti did, given him one more year to see, and there's a lot of pressure on him, but I would have definitely given him this one more year with a healthy Joe Flacco, try to get some weapons, some true weapons for Joe, and you've got the defensive players in place, and now you've got Wink Martindale, Marty Morningweg, you know, basically Euro in the hot seat with John, and it's now make it happen. But they've got a 3-for-3. The 21 years we've had has been a pretty good run of 21 years.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. All right, 8:32 is the time. Mike Popovic in for Tony Lombardi, Miles Goodman. You're listening to The Fanimal. Joining us now on the hotline, we've got Chandra Brigance, going to be talking about the 5th Annual Race for ALS. Chandra, of course, the wife of O.J. Brigance. And Chandra, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. My gosh, it's a beautiful morning. I'm just happy to be a part of the show this morning.
Well, appreciate that. Now, the offseason brings the annual Brigance Brigade Foundation's Race for ALS, and that is coming up in a couple of months, giving people plenty of time to prepare for this. I know a couple of years ago, I was a part of the event, actually as a DJ. It was a lot of fun back at the Power Plant Live. I know I think the venue's changed a little bit, but fill us in on first, you know, what this is all about and what we're trying to raise money for here.
Well, the race is April 29th at the Canton waterfront. So April 29th in Canton. And what we're doing is we are raising funds, helping those who are living with ALS. It could help, the funds are helping to maybe purchase a wheelchair, maybe purchase a ramp getting built for someone, an ALS pal to get in and out of their home, or maybe in-home care for an ALS patient. I mean, it's just the funds are really, really, really going directly to the ALS patient to help with the needs of ALS, of an ALS patient. So we all come out in Canton on April 29th. We get together, we have fun, we have a celebration station, we have kids face painting, we have, some of the mascots, we have, like you say, the live DJ or band or music, we have Keith Mills, who's emceeing, and we have, you know, close to 2,000 runners who come out. But if for some reason someone can't run or don't want to run, we also have the 1.57-mile walk. So there's something for everyone, and it's a family, festive, fun-filled day. So we try and ask for everyone to come out, everyone.
It's a great event, and the Brigance Brigade is a 501c3, and if people want to make contributions, can they go online and make donations?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just go right online. You'll see that little button, and just click that little button online that says donate, and it's 1, 2, 3, and that's it. It's all done just to donate, because we understand if someone can't make it out. But we ask that if you can make it out, come on out and join us and be a part of the festivities.
Well, I was just going to say that OJ was such a hero here. I met him several times at different events, at Edwin Molotalo's fundraisers and things, and I enjoyed watching him on the field. He was a hero. He was a great guy. He's the hero of Baltimore. It's great to see him when you and him come out on the field, and just appreciate everything that you've done and he's done for our community.
Well, you know what? It's pretty easy to do what we do for such an amazing city. Baltimore has been really good to OJ and I. They've the people of Baltimore are just wonderful people, and we enjoy being part of the community and being part of what Baltimore is doing here. I mean, Baltimore is doing some great things. So OJ and I appreciate the city of Baltimore, the fans that OJ had while he was playing, and we want to be a part of what is going on in the city. So we can't help but get into the city and do our part as well.
Well, and thinking about it, you know, OJ was a part of this community before the Ravens became a part of the community with the Stallions, and what a great story that was from going from the CFL to the NFL team. But that was a great thing that we knew about him before the pro team hit town. So he's got a little bit extra history with the city.
Well, you know what? Baltimore's home. That's home for us. I mean, when we first got married, I mean, this was our first home, and it still is our home now. So we're happy to be here. We're proud to be here. And like I said, we just want to be a part of the community and give back to the community. And that's just what we're doing with our Brigance Brigade Foundation, being part of that community, being part of giving back and doing what we can to help those who are in need.
Again, it's the Brigance Brigade Foundation's Race for ALS, the 5th annual 5.7K championship race at 1.57-mile family run and walk. Their website, briganceBrigade.org, and it comes your way in April. What is the date again on that, Chandra?
It's April 29. Okay. April 29.
All right, very good. And that's a Saturday morning, correct?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is. Saturday. Is it Saturday or Sunday? April
29th. All right. Well, that's all. We'll check that out. Chandra, thank you so much for your time this morning and promoting a great event. And we'll continue to get out the word. And we appreciate your time this weekend.
Okay. Thank you for having me. Thanks. Right. I'll see everyone there.
Sounds good. We appreciate it. And Miles, as she talked about, no doubt about it, a great community that gives back and helps their own. And you know, especially when there's a sports tie in there as well. There's, that adds a little something to it.
But I forgot about the Stallions connection. He brought it up, but he was like the starting middle linebacker or inside linebacker on that Stallions team that went on to win the Grey Cup.
Well, Miles, want to let you know, when it comes to maintaining our cars, we all know to change the oil, that at least should be something, But did you know that cleaning your fuel system, that's just as important. Within as little as 5,000 miles, carbon, varnish, and sludge deposits build up inside your car's engine. And these deposits, they're kind of like a cancer, and they rob your engine of performance and fuel economy. And if not cleaned, it can lead to expensive repairs. Nobody wants that, especially if you're still making car payments. In fact, many vehicle manufacturers now recommend that you clean your fuel system at every oil change. Full Throttle Complete Fuel System Cleaner and their more advanced professional two-step fuel system cleaning service cleans away these harmful deposits to restore your engine's performance and fuel economy. You can go to your local Jiffy Lube today and ask for Full Throttle Complete Fuel System Cleaner or their professional two-step fuel system cleaning service. It's so good that it comes with 100% satisfaction, money-back guarantee, and is only available at Jiffy Lube. Still got to get to our Fanimal Cracker segment. We'll do that next. And on the other side, Kyle Crabb as well, founder and director of scouting at NDT Scouting. We'll talk about what he thinks the Ravens need to do this offseason, who they're going to pick up. We'll get his mock. That's on the way. You're listening to the Fanimal, Mike Popovic, Miles Goodman here on The Fan.